Welcome back to another episode of SharePoint Conference Television. I'm Kara Winigatimu. We are powered by Channel 9, and we are here in Las Vegas, live on the floor of SharePoint Conference 2014. It's a wonderful place to be because it's such an opportunity to get involved with the people who are actually making things happen out there in the field. I always find that exciting to figure out how people are really using this technology, and there's a wonderful segment that we're going to get educated about today called the Education Segment. Did you see that little pun there? I came up with that on the fly. Great. Thank you for joining me. I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us and the folks who will be watching this on Channel 9. Would you introduce yourselves?
Yeah, sure. I'm Alex Pierce. I'm from a company in the UK called BSC Networks, and we are specialised in Office 365 education. That's all we do. So we work with schools on the adoption and customization and migration to the cloud for them.
That's great.
And the environments.
A lot of fun there.
I'm Lou Zuli. I'm the IT instructor and network manager for the Center for Advanced Technologies at Lakewood High School. I'm a public school educator.
That's great. That's great. Hard job.
My name is Alan Crawford. I'm an assistant principal at Shireland Collegiate Academy in the UK. We came to showcase our stuff at SharePoint.
Oh, that's great. Well, everybody's come such a long way. We really appreciate you coming all the way to Vegas. Hope you're having a good time here at the conference. I've been really amazed by what's happening in the education space and, you know, the move to the cloud and leveraging this technology. And you were just teaching me something I didn't know, which is really amazing. You want to talk about the free offer that's out there?
Yeah. So Office 365 is free for education up to a certain point, we should say, but that's the equivalent of an E2 plan. So students and faculty get 50 gig mailboxes for free, they get OneDrive for Business, they get Link, and they get SharePoint Standard for free.
You have to say that again, because you know something, when I think about the power of those products put together in the suite, the way that we have in Office 365, and I also think about the stress that most education budgets are under, I think that that's a pretty huge thing for Microsoft as a company to do for the education sector.
Exactly. I mean, it's been almost 2 years now since that announcement that it was going to be a free services, and it's the same for primary, elementary schools all the way up to universities that get that for free. So it's really, here you go, have it.
Yeah, every day I'm more and more proud of being a Microsoft employee, right, because of that investment that we're making there. And so, you know, and don't you think, I always feel like education is super useful in any regard, but especially when it gives you real world skills. And I know that this is near and dear to your heart, Lou. Yes. And folks who've been watching SharePoint Conference Television have probably seen your segment in our rooms. But tell us about the program that you run. It's so inspiring to me.
Well, I run a program of juniors and seniors that run the entire school network design and work with SharePoint, design solutions in SharePoint, rebrand on-prem and in the cloud on Office 365. They do it all. They'll spin up servers. They'll plug in. They'll troubleshoot Windows 8.1 installations. But their proudest and most really satisfying work is done with SharePoint and the solutions that they create with it. And the true industry certifications that they walk out with from my program gives them that leg up throughout the rest of their IT careers.
Because real-world experience, you know, when we publish content from IT, which is where I'm from, we have a tag called Real-World IT. And we chose that because we felt like real-world experience is really what the conversation is about. Once you have this amazing stack, what do you do with it? How do you make it real? Your program's really focused on that, giving them that experience of how you go from vision to reality.
Absolutely. The entire focus is every project, every solution, everything they do has to meet a real need on our campus, whether it's for helping manage the hallways, a form to get check out a mobile lab, or to even create some type of solution to help choose scheduling, to choose student schedules. It has to meet a real need. There is no theoretical work done. They are working in a live environment. Mm-hmm. They are actually creating that solution, publishing it to be used, and to them, and what's gratifying is to see them pick it up and use it and watch students walking around using that solution.
Yes. I've always loved that about technology, taking it from idea to reality, seeing other people use it. It really makes you feel a part of something bigger when you're collaborating, which is obviously the point of Office 365 and SharePoint. And I think that we had some real-world collaboration going on between you two here at the conference, didn't we? Didn't we? Tell me a little bit about that.
I went to watch Lou's session yesterday, and he was talking about the experiences he has with the students. And I came away inspired and said, you know, I'd like to work with you, and hopefully we can collaborate between the UK and Lou in America and try and get something going so our students can work with his students, and we can try and come up with some real experiences for them all.
And you're going to use Link for that, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we're going to use Link, and hopefully we're going to have some other technology which is going to allow them to see each other in other ways as well, which we're working on, so it should be a fabulous place.
That's amazing. And how is it different? You know, I was mentioning, you know, there's been a bit of an assault on education budgets in the U.S., and I know that it's a bit of a struggle to make sure people can get the education they need. Do you face that same issue in the U.K.? How is it there?
Yeah, we have the same problems with budgets. Budget cuts are happening, and that's when we were deliberating between SharePoint Online or SharePoint On-Prem, and it was when the offer came out to go to Office 365 and they're going to make it free to us. It was no questions asked. That's where we need to go. That's what we need to do.
Right.
And our SharePoint environment is the backbone to everything we do in the school.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You work with a lot of different education organizations, I'm sure, in your role. Do you feel like they have any concerns about security or privacy?
It's always a question that's asked when we're first there. And in the UK, the government have a framework of levels of security for data.
Right.
Whether that's people building their own data centres, where is that data stored, the governing body for schools known as Ofsted, they like you to know where your data is. So when the UK government have worked with Microsoft and other way around as well, to actually say, well, Office 365 hits this barrier, and this barrier is actually personal data for students can be stored here.
Wow.
So the fact that the government are saying it's safe enough, it's kind of our schools are going all in. Come on, let's do it.
Right.
And I think that's why, certainly worldwide anyway, there's 110 million users using Office 365 Education.
Right. So for anybody who says that it's not ready for prime time, I would cite what you're doing as an example that may not be true.
I can only agree.
Yeah, absolutely. And I understand their concerns, though, right? People have valid concerns about making this. And did you, in your scenario, did you have to speak with the folks within your organization, administration is the word I'm looking for, about going to the cloud?
Yes, we did. We had to prove that it was going to be it was going to enhance the students' learning. It was going to enhance students' performance. And we also had to address some of the lawyers' concerns at this. And we have very conservative attorneys that are going, what's going to happen? But my point to them is, and so often we lose sight of where we've been in education. And what I told them is we have to stop looking for a technological solution to a management issue. And that's what we're dealing with is classroom management skills. So we can't replace those skills with technology. So let's let it go. And they finally said, okay, let it go.
Oh, you're a rabble rouser, aren't you?
You're
an agent of change. I recognize you. I see folks like you every day, and I encourage that. Absolutely.
Well, they've let us do it. We are writing the book on how to do it for our school district, and they will adapt those best practices as they move forward, which has been very gratifying that they trust us enough and my students enough to say, okay, let's do it. Let's change the paradigm. Let's move to a 24/7 educational knowledge building experience, because that's what it's all about.
A knowledge building experience. I'm going to write about that. That's wonderful. And, you know, it's also applicable in many other business cases, right? You know, being able to build that and having your students leave with some real world education, right? And skill sets.
It's our job as educators to prepare our students in the best possible way, best possible experiences to give them the ability to be lifelong learners, the ability to just move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that today is this entire technological space.
Yeah.
If we're not preparing them the right way to use it, and to use it with guidance. Not saying that we have the best methods, but we're providing them that guidance, then we're derelict in our duties as 21st century educators.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And have you found, you know, I think it's always important to keep that global perspective, because the way things are in the domestic U.S. is not how they are in many other places. And it's important to be open to the best practices and learnings. Obviously, you're inspired by that, but how would you view that as different in your education environment in terms of the program that you might work with or the outcomes that would be expected?
We have a number of different outcomes, the same as everybody else in education, and that's to make sure that the students learn and they progress. And certainly with the environment we've set up, we allow them to progress sometimes at their own stage, they discover, and we give them access to everything that they may need for the amount of years that will be with us. So if they want to progress quicker, they go, they look at more things, all that information's up there, it's stored, and they can look at it and see what they've got to do. But we are judged by our outcomes, and the leaps forward that we've made through using technology has been amazing.
Yeah, that's really, it's so inspiring. And things are about to take another leap forward. So whether you're in K-12 or in university, you can get this amazing offer of Office 365 to certain levels for free. But then another big change is about to happen, and that's the inclusion of Yammer in April. So what do you think? What do you think? That's the fun of being live. Somebody just dropped job opening. So that's the fun of being live. So the question is, okay, Yammer is going to be included in this license in April.
Yep.
How do you see that affecting your customer base in the education segment going forward?
Well, some of the things that we're doing at the moment is evaluating it so we can advise schools and the different levels on how to use it, what's the right way for privacy, for supporting students, making sure that it's not being abused. And that's kind of where people are going to be worried, I think, more about it. So it's giving them the confidence that the technology that is changing is there, but I think there are so many educational practical ways that it can be used in the classroom, outside of the classroom, because that's kind of what it is, as we've already alluded to, it's 24/7 learning.
Right.
So it can actually, the students can collaborate with the teacher on the document, on a project, no matter what it is.
Do you think, as educators, you know, I'm all in with that, right? I love social media, but I've also seen social media be used in not so nice ways.
Yeah,
and in the education segment, how will you have that conversation about bullying, cyberbullying? You know, we've had a lot of conversation about that. Okay, great, we're going to bring in enterprise social now. Where do we fall on that? How are we going to wrap our minds around that and help our students be successful?
I think to start with, we've got to educate them on how to use it.
Yeah.
They're used to using it for things like Facebook, Twitter, and we use Twitter within the school. And we've got to be able to educate them and say, well, everything is documented in what you're saying. As staff, we can see it. We can comment back to you, and we can do lots of different things. And I think we have to sit down as a senior team and try and work out how it's going to fit in and where it's going to fit in for us, and whether we need to have more governance on it or not. I think will be interesting for us.
It's interesting. We did a survey, and there's some evidence out there that students are looking for a secure social experience. They, especially in the education space, they want to be able to build what Will Richardson, a very renowned educational author and speaker, says is a community of experts. They want to be able to reach out past the four walls that they're in and find people that have interests and abilities and knowledge that they're looking for and they're thirsting for. So they can reach out through that immediacy of social media and say, hey, anybody having trouble with the parabolem and getting or coding a parabolem or figuring out Pythagorean theorem? So that's what they're looking for, that commonality of interest and that community of experts. And that might be an educator in the UK.
Yeah.
That might be an educator in a school two blocks over. It might be a group of friends that are going to help them play lacrosse. Whatever it is, the benefits of a secure social environment. And that's how it's going. That's how it should be leveraged.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I also think it gives us an opportunity for students to see their similarities and challenges with each other in a broader community. And you know, sometimes I think that we underestimate their ability to work well with each other. Right?
Yeah.
We can't put our fears in their space. Can you imagine how different it'll be to come up working like a network? We've all adapted to working like a network, to making these, using technology to make these conversations and connections. But if you came up that way, I feel like that would be very powerful, don't you?
Yeah, I think this is what it is. It's about giving pupils the skills on how things are changing. And it concerns me that actually they could go into businesses in 5 years' time when they've graduated, and none of that's actually there.
Yeah.
And it's going to make the best want to go somewhere else. So it's really, I think there is that emphasis. Actually, 365 is across 100 million users. Well, what a business is going to do to provide the same technology and to be able to help them to work in that collaborative, high process, get information as quickly as they can.
Yeah, absolutely. You're preaching to the choir on that one, because I do think business needs to continue to evolve. The expectations of new workers coming into the workforce over time are going to be tremendously different than the ones that were the standard operating procedure before.
Yes.
So I just think the inclusion of that in the free license is going to be key, but so is having a strategy and being able to have those conversations with the administrative and legal folks to make people feel comfortable, right?
Yeah.
You know, part of it is that, most definitely. So when you see, are there other top issues that you see in education right now in that segment when you're working with folks?
To me, everybody have kind of got, and they understand what cloud means in the education space, because a lot of companies have already hosted a lot of services for schools because they haven't got the infrastructure, the internet line within, they don't have the money to build data centers and that kind of thing. So I think the fact that data is over there, what I find interesting is that I know of a couple of universities in the UK who have been very anti-Microsoft. No, we don't want Google. No, we've got Google. We don't want Microsoft. We don't need Office 365. Don't want to migrate our email. But then there's another feature that's come out called Student Advantage, which provides students, and as long as the institution is paying for Microsoft licensing, students can have 5 licenses of being able to deploy Office Pro Plus through Office 365 on their own personal machines, whether that's their iPad, their Mac, or of course, obviously their Windows device.
That's
so all of
amazing.
A sudden, these universities are going, you were really forcing me down Microsoft route, aren't you? Because my students are now saying, I can have Office for free. Where is it?
Right.
Give it to me.
Absolutely.
Ooh.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, this isn't a competitive decision that we make, right? This is a decision we make for the good of humankind, to make sure that people have the education and the tools that they need. It may help in those competitive situations. I'm not going to deny that. But, you know, 110 million users plus local, 5 licenses of Office is an awful lot of revenue for our company, most definitely.
Yeah, it's
you
giving
don't
access.
Give away that money.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
No, because. No. And it's giving access for all. So everybody in the world can have it now. There's no problem at all. So it doesn't matter whether you come from a middle class background or not. You can have Office on your own devices at home.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's going to be important. And that, I'm sure, eventually will also include the, you know, Yammer. They'll all be able to access that anyway.
I think the Office stack will just add on to enterprise, and it'll be there for academic. And that really is that pressure.
And the commonality of experience across all devices, across all boundaries. What's that going to do for education? That commonality in itself is going to lead to some amazing opportunities, some amazing co-creation that's going on. You talk about work like a network. Isn't working like the network the goal to co-create?
Exactly.
And through that commonality of experience, that's what actually is going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think that's why it's such an exciting time to be in this space. You know, the advent of the new tools, the move to the cloud, what we're all doing together, each in our own way, makes it a very exciting time, you know. So I think it's wonderful. Is there anything else that you would, from an education perspective, I wanted to ask both of you, if we have other educators who haven't partaken in this offer yet and they're thinking about doing it, are there any gotchas that you'd share with them about how to get started? I mean, it's pretty simple from a Microsoft perspective. You go and you click on academic and you get your licenses, but it's not that simple from a human standpoint sometimes.
No, it's not that simple. I mean, you have things around permissions, setting up sites that you might want students to access, something you don't want them to access, and you have to look at how you get that structure correct, and it's planning. And before we migrated to Office 365, we spent probably 8 to 10 months planning that migration, and that was really key to our success of then getting there. So that's something I would think about.
I would say focus on the end user. That end user going to be 2 people. It's really going to be the educator, the teacher, the instructor, and it's going to be the student. So you need to focus on making that experience as easy as possible for them, because without that, they're not going to adapt to it. Mm. So you really have to figure out, and this was a gotcha that we came up with, that we actually experienced. The back end, our IT people, my students, said, well, that's easy. You just go click, click, click. Well, that was two clicks too many for a very harried classroom teacher. So we got it down to one click. And we then started prioritizing information based on what they really need immediately to make their job easier. The same thing with students. You have to make it easy for them to get to the information. Once we did that, we saw user adoption go through the roof. So that would be the one gotcha. Don't focus too much on what you think the IT shop wants.
Yeah.
Focus on what the end user experience is going to be.
That's so true. And being empowered with a partner who can help you in that and
yes.
who has that sort of experience in your space will accelerate your time to value also, right? And and it'd be interesting, you know, there's the fasttrack.office.com, which is our path to the cloud. Mm-hmm. I would be interested in some feedback from you maybe after the session about, does that meet your guys' needs from an education standpoint? It'd be nice to connect those dots
mm-hmm.
and see if the way that we're sharing that with enterprises, you know, really resonates with you as well. So, got some great conversation going there.
Yeah.
Excellent. That's excellent. Well, I really want to thank you for joining me today. This has been a very educational segment. I couldn't help myself but say that. And what we really want folks to do is go out to Microsoft.Office365.com, click on Academic, and get engaged. Start your experience there,
yeah.
right? These
yeah.
tools are available, they're free, and the way to understand how it's going to impact your user community is to start using it in a limited pilot and understand what those scenarios are. So
yes.
we really appreciate that. And I'm looking forward to hearing what's going to come out of this collaboration.
Next SharePoint conference, get them on stage.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And we were here,
yeah.
right? I'll have you back.
This is going to be an amazing, amazing partnership, I think.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear what happens next. So I will be asking.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
This has been another great segment of SharePoint Conference Television. Hopefully you're seeing it on Channel 9. And my guests also had some sessions that they gave here at the conference. SPC 2994 and SPC 2016. Check that out to get a deeper dive into the scenarios that they're driving in the education segment. And again, if you haven't provisioned your free 365 licenses yet, go to Microsoft.Office365.com, click on Academic, and start your experience now. Thank you for joining me, Kara Wanagatimu. We'll see you again soon.